take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors and a huge welcome to anyone that might be new to NA with us tonight. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to keep you coming back. So, like we said at the beginning, we are our main speaker meeting this evening. They're going to share their experiences and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. And the journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Hilmaray, who's going to introduce our speaker tonight. So, Hilmaray, over to you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm an addict. My name is Hilmaray. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Hilmaray.
Hi. It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure for me to introduce this person whom I've known her for over 20 years, well, going on 25 years. I'm not sure. And I first met her when she was coming out of treatment center. She was still in the treatment center. And when I think of when I think of Jackie, because Jackie's the person that's sharing with night first with us tonight, the first word, and it encompasses Jackie so wholly, is humility. I've seen Jackie go through so many difficult situations, and she holds her head high. She practices the principles and the steps to the best of ability, and she shares the recovery with us. And so I'm going to hand over to Jackie, who's come to share with us tonight her experience, strength, and hope. And over to you, Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilmarie.
Thank you, Hills. I'm
Thanks
Jackie.
for
I'm... Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Oh,
Hi,
Jackie.
Jackie. Hey, Jackie.
Welcome, newcomers. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for asking me to share. I feel very privileged to be sitting here. And thank you so much, Hills, for that introduction. It was lovely, and it is lovely to have known you so long. It's great to be sitting here clean in a meeting with friends and having just celebrated 20 years clean, to be sharing my my birthday week, you know, as we do. And thinking back to that time that Hilmary was talking about, as I left the treatment center, which, you know, having detox, a dreadful, dreadful detox, I was told I needed secondary treatment rather than go home. And I can see why. You know, I had got clean, but I had no clue about staying clean. I mean, I had been to meetings, it was a requirement. H and I had come into the treatment centre. I was in North Somerset. I deliberately crossed the country where I didn't know people, where I couldn't like escape and just go and use and give up, you know. I really wanted to give myself the best chance. I was fortunate to have been funded by my local authority. And I was told after, you know, when I eventually got back home again, many months later, I was told that I was the only person that financial year that they could afford to send into treatment to rehab. And, you know, I was aware that it cost a lot of money to go to rehabs. They were hundreds of pounds a week, you know. And as well as my own determination to succeed in my recovery, I was aware that I was in a privileged position to have received that funding, that not everybody got that chance. And I've shared this before, but it is quite profound. In the detox unit I was at, we were again very fortunate that the counselors, quite a lot of them, were recovering addicts. And I had great respect for them. I knew they knew what they were talking about. And I believed them. They weren't people that had studied in college and, got a qualification to work in services. They were recovering addicts. And the head counselor, he used to sometimes come and talk to us when we had our meet up in the morning. And he said, "Look to your left and your right. And out of the three of you, only one of you is going to be alive within a year." I thought, my God, the stats are really awful, I'm going to be still alive in a year. I decided that, And so I pretty much decided to do what I was told or what was suggested, That didn't mean I still wanted to use. And there were people in that place that managed to get bits and pieces of drugs in there, and I hassle them to give me some, and they wouldn't. I look back and wonder, was my higher power taking care of me? I laugh because my higher power is always taking care of me, I shouldn't really wonder about it, but anyway. So, what Hilmary's talking about is when I was actually leaving the second place where I'd been 6 months, going to meetings, doing, chores in the house, learning how to go shopping and cook for people, and Hilmary was my first sponsor. She had 3 or so years clean. We were friends in the meetings, and she helped me start the steps. And we went to a lot of meetings. Hilmary did a lot of service, like PI and H&I. And I went along to the meetings with her. I went to group consciences and started to learn about NA. And life was good. I did some voluntary work. I went to college. I studied some complementary therapies. Did yoga. Eventually, I had to go home. I had left my old council house, and a mistake had been made on the housing benefit thing, and I couldn't remain in the town where the treatment centre was. I had to go home. And I'd been told in meetings, therapy meetings and whatnot, again, run mostly by recovering addicts, which was great. I had the most respect for them, And they said, you know, if there's no NA meeting in your town when you get home, you need to start one up. So I went home with that knowledge, you know, and there was an NA meeting in my town when I got home on a Saturday evening. That meeting is still going. So I went home in was it 2004, I suppose. I'd got clean the previous year. And I began to go to the home group meetings. I went in there first time, and there was a guy, the secretary of the meeting. The look on his face when he saw me, you could have knocked him over with a feather, as they say. Because we were old using friends, you know. And I was kind of the last person expected to walk in there. And during that year, no, during the following year, I had been at the Birmingham Convention where I was the other weekend. And I had gone, I had so much help in my first few months of recovery. I had gone to an aftercare place at another 12-step treatment center nearby in a nearby town. And they gave us a lift in the minivan to go to the convention. Now, during this time, my daughter was missing. She'd been missing for 2 years. And eventually, she was on the street, desperate, been evicted from her place or something. And a friend persuaded her to call her brother, my eldest son. So I was in touch with him when he found her and brought her back to his place. And I was desperate to see her. So instead of going home from the convention in Birmingham, as I was meant to, I got a lift down to my son's place, and I wasn't supposed to be there. Addiction is in my family. There was weed all over the place. And I was in, you know, I'd got a few months clean, not much. I wasn't, strong enough to not pick up, I picked up. And back came the obsession and compulsion. I saw my daughter, held my daughter. She was very, very weak, very battered from her addiction. And I stayed there a few days and used a tiny little bit of weed in the evening, not with everyone else, in secret. But while I was there, it was all I could think about. It was terrible, and I was devastated to lose my clean time. It was horrible. I didn't enjoy the using. I thought, what have you done that for? And I understood what powerlessness meant. I remember when Hilary dropped me off there, she said, "Are you sure you'll be okay? Isn't there anywhere else you can stay?" And I was all like, No, I'll be fine. So that taught me a big lesson. I got home and had to start all over again. My house was a sanctuary. It was clean. It was safe. I was okay there. And I knew to get back to the meetings. I was doing service at my home group. And despite my relapse, they voted me back in as secretary. I just cried. I couldn't believe it, that it saved my life. Doing service at that meeting saved my life. And I went there every single week for the next 15 years, easily. I occasionally would be away. After about a year or so, I was a GSR. I went to the SC, learned about all that stuff, what they do. We opened up another couple of meetings in the town. And that town where I lived in Suffolk had at one time been in the national papers for having the worst drug problem in the country. Drugs came in at the eastern ports, I had one clean friend in that town. To begin with, I was really scared of going out. Everything was unfamiliar to me when I was clean, got clean, first of all. And I prayed a lot to give me strength. And took me a while to believe that all was well and everything was going to be okay, as I'd run on fear all my life. Along with the meetings, I didn't have transport at that time. I began doing helpline service. That was great. And I met another bunch of NA people doing service. Enjoyed because I had a phone, I had a computer. I'd done some studying when I first got home. I didn't feel able to go out to work, and I did a degree at home. Not at home, but I needed the computer for that. I went to a local town, local college. I did the helpline service for years, different shifts, but particularly, I think I started off with a Friday night because there wasn't a meeting on a Friday, not in my local town. There was in towns round about. I met some great friends in Essex and Suffolk. People that are still my friends. I met some of them at the convention, not last week, the week before. And it's wonderful when people stay clean a long time, a day at a time, but when the years do mount up and you meet up with people that have stayed clean and meeting up at a convention, it's wonderful. And the other thing, what was great, was that I'd done service on a couple of online meetings that had cameras on, not like Hickman, that had cameras on. And I met people at the convention that recognized me from the service I'd done online. That was amazing. It was great. And it is great that even online, virtually, people are getting clean, staying clean. And they might start going to face-to-face meetings as well. But we know that people can work a program, stay clean by virtual meetings. When I got home from the treatment center, after the relapse, I did a basic textbook study, and I worked through the steps. I did a weird thing called a step weekend, and these questions were kind of adapted from AA to NA. And a couple of people, local people, helping with that. And I got through that. And then at my home group on a Saturday evening, it was a share meeting, usually. There was a share, and it was an amazing share. The lady had been the chair of the London Convention, and it was a great chair. And I asked if she would sponsor me. And she said yes, she would be honored to sponsor me. She asked me, will you give it away? And said, yes. And it's a privilege to give it away. I have a sponsee who contacts me every single night by message, calls me usually at the weekend. And I've known her since she got clean, 13 years ago. My sponsor has sponsored me for, I don't know, about 18, 19 years now. And that is a great relationship because of all the stuff I've learned from her and continue to learn from her. She had addiction in her family too. That was a big help, you know, and still is a big help, you know. Her kids have got clean, mine haven't. I'm the only one in my family who is clean. When I shared here before, I shared a lot of stuff about my childhood. I was sort of identifying with the fact that I'd grown up with a lot of grief, a lot of pain, and that self-pity kept me using for a long, long time. I was a victim. And last time I did step six and seven, I identified this victim mentality thing. Not a victim. Yes, stuff happened. Stuff happened. I don't have to remain in victim mentality. I can sit here grateful for everything that's happened to me because it's brought me to where I'm sitting now. We are given challenges to learn from. It's our response to them that's important. This is the stuff I've learned. Stuff that's taken years to learn. I'm very grateful. I know what I was going to say. I was talking about a previous share where I dwelt a lot on old stuff, childhood stuff, and how I had lost my birth mother at around about four and put into Panados, etc., etc. What I didn't share about was that I found my mother and she found me. We both looked for each other. So I was in my 20s with two children, and suddenly my real mother was in my life. And she was living in Australia. She still lives in Australia. And she came to visit quite a lot. And that was quite amazing. And another thing that was really amazing was around Christmas time, I was staying in North London with my daughter at her dad's place. He was away in Thailand, up to God knows what. And I popped into a kebab place for some to get some chips for her. And this conversation began. They offered a drink, and they were Turkish Cypriots, which is the nationality of my father. My father is not on my birth certificate. My mother had me at 16, and he was gone. I think he maybe went back to North Cyprus. I don't know exactly. No, I think he worked in London for a while. Anyway, it transpired that these guys in the kebab place knew my father. They knew my whole family. And apparently they could tell things by looking at me because I am quite dark, like my father was then, going grey now, silver. Anyway, they gave me a drink. I think I drank some whiskey. They make kebabs and salad, and said, "Come in tomorrow. Your uncle will be here." And I met my uncle, and he was a gambler. He gave me my father's phone number. And around New Year's Eve, I think it was, I called my father. And he did stay in London for a while because apparently, when I was two, my mother met up with him in Trafalgar Square, Lyons Corner House, quite a famous eatery, and he worked there. But, he wasn't happy because she was going out with a white guy, and yeah, I don't know what, I really don't know the whole story, but that was the last time he had seen me. And after that, I met him, went to stay with him and his new family, and had his phone number, and he died some time ago. But it was great to have known him. It really, really was. So, what was a strange childhood? Turned out quite amazing, really. And I've got to say, my recovery is pretty amazing. By working the steps, I faced my addiction in step one, and yeah, powerless, unmanageable. But I remember writing this addiction can be overcome by means of meetings in the program, identifying, the hope and faith in step two, the trust of that higher power, a loving and caring higher power in step three, the unloading of all the fear, grief, shame, guilt, resentments in four and five, which changed my life, totally changed my life. Like a 10-ton block of pain that disappeared, And the six and seven stuff, I learned that for each of the defects, there was an asset I could use. And done my list of harms, made amends. Not all received very well, but I made them anyway, It's not my stuff if they don't want to hear that. But, and the step tens I religiously wrote out for years. I did piece of paper with a line down the middle, and the good stuff on one side and the not so great stuff on the other side, and I could write down what had happened in the day, not take it into the next day, Eleven, I loved, and I was already doing that stuff, the prayer, the meditation, and various practices like the yoga and Tai Chi as well. And I kept that up for years, until my spinal problems began. Step 12 was really amazing. All the principles together. And the revelation I had, my spiritual awakening, was the realization that all that work, all that stuff, wasn't just for me, it was to pass on to somebody else. And I thought, wow, this is how the steps work. This is how that program works. And what a beautiful thing, And I love coming to meetings. I love these Higna meetings. I used to go to some pretty rowdy meetings, did so much service that I barely had any spare time at all. It was a bit stressful, really. I really enjoy the serenity of the Higna meetings, very well organized, and the people doing service are loving recovering addicts that love what they do, and it works very, very well. And so I'm very grateful to be part of the Higna group, and always enjoyed the meetings very much. Continuing to learn. I'm very grateful to everyone that comes, but I learn a lot from my predecessors, and I'm very grateful they continue to come to meetings so I can learn more stuff. And I learn just as much stuff from newcomers as well, and people that come back from a relapse, because that's a message as well. It doesn't get any better out there. Nobody comes in here because they was having a great time using. I probably run out of things to say now. I'm sure I'll think of things later that I should have said, but never mind. I'm sure it will do for now. Thank you so much for asking me. I love you all.